This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. You can also friend Charlottesville Tomorrow on Facebook, as I have done. Check it out on Facebook. It's there. When I first played that TV theme song for Northern Exposure, you were so funny because you said, do you know that? And you said, yeah, I used to listen to that show, whatever that show is. I know I used to listen to it. You recognized it enough to know that you used to watch it, but you didn't know what it was. But it was a good show, wasn't it?
Yeah, my memory's not so good about those things.
Well, you turned 40, didn't you?
It was a great show.
That was a good show. I like that show. Speaking of another good show, I have to tell you in the world that I'm one of the few people. I don't have a TV. The little TV I watch is like Hulu.com, or occasionally I'll rent a DVD that has some TV on it, which I did recently, because at Sneak Reviews, if you rent a video, you can get or a DVD, you can get another DVD of a TV show for free.
Goy,
because it's
so
old.
You just lost half your audience right there. What is Hulu?
Hulu.com.
I don't know what Hulu is.
You're kidding. Really? HULU.com?
No.
Oh, it's like the treasure trove of free television online and movies. So you check it out.
So you're watching TV, not live on TV, broadcast.
Correct.
Or satellite or cable.
Correct. I don't have that.
You get it.
Haven't had it for years.
Or on DVD.
Correct. So
I don't do that.
You TiVo.
Yes.
Yes. So I just discovered for the first time, I just watched Lost. This TV show Lost. I have never seen it before. I've never seen 2 minutes of it before.
Right.
I just watched the first DVD of the first season. It's the first four shows.
Yep. You love it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
It's fantastic.
That's what I've heard.
I'm so late to the party, the Lost party.
No, I'm
there.
I'm later. I'm later, Coy. I've not even arrived. And
it's like the new Twilight Zone, but it's even better.
I heard you have to watch it in order.
Yeah, that's what I was told. Like, start at the beginning.
You can't start sneaking looks at the current.
No, because it all builds.
Right.
But it is fantastic.
So how many seasons of Lost have there been?
I think they're in number 5.
You got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Now, do they take the commercials out of those when you watch them on DVD?
Yeah, there's no commercials.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, it's definitely the way to watch it. No commercials. And you can watch one after the other. So you can watch like four shows.
Yeah.
It's really good. And for the Lost fans out there, I know you're putting your thumb in the air. You're nodding. Yeah, I can hear you. I am so late to this Lost party, but wow. Yeah, you should check it out.
It's on my list. My daughter's did the same thing a couple years ago. She watched through, I think, the second season, and she sort of stopped right there, and now she's needs to catch up.
But she's, of Lost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a junior in high school. She told me it was a really, really good show.
It is. It is really good. Yeah. It's creepy and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Oh, yeah. We're good Americans. We like our creepy and weird TV.
Twin Peaks.
Give it up.
Among the best shows ever.
Absolutely. First season, of course, much better than the second. But
although
still,
I won't watch it again.
You wouldn't?
No. It was too creepy.
Oh, I would watch it.
I could only watch it through once.
That was fantastic, too. That was really good.
Of course, there's a whole lot of cherry pie.
Cherry pie and
in Twin Peaks.
Good black coffee, yeah.
That's right. Agent Dale Cooper.
Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth, development, and local political campaigns, which they cover as well. Races for city council and the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. And there's a whole bunch of people running this year.
We got big news. We're going to take three of those candidates, the ones running for the Democratic Party's nomination.
Throw them in the back of a truck.
For city council.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, we're not.
That must be another party.
We're going to bring them to Burley Middle School in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today.
Right up the hill?
Tuesday, April 21st, right up the street, Rose Hill Drive.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a candidate forum. This will be co-sponsored by Charlottesville Tomorrow and the Free Enterprise Forum. And you've had Neil Williamson from the Free Enterprise
Forum. Yeah, I love
forum
the forum. Yeah.
On your show. And Neil and I are going to moderate the event.
Cool.
We're going to give the candidates probably about 10 questions in advance. Let them do some homework on those questions.
So they can have substantive, well-thought-out, prepared answers.
That's right.
Any Q&A with the audience?
And then we'll do Q&A with the audience. So this is the same format we did in 2007 for the city council race and the county races. And we're going to start that process again earlier this year because, we, you know, now we recognize if we want to help the public understand where these candidates are, it's very important to get them in front of the community at this level, i.e. at the Democratic caucus primary level.
Yeah.
If you want to inform public opinion, you got to get the candidates on the record right now.
So who's going to be there? Who are the candidates for city council?
So that'll be the two incumbents, Mayor Dave Norris and Julian Taliaferro, and then the one challenger for the Democratic nomination, Kristen Zekas. So those three will be at this candidate forum. It's open to the public. Doors open at 6:30, and we will start the forum promptly at 7 o'clock.
Now, am I right in, and I don't know if it's a rumor mill or not or where I've heard it, but am I right in thinking that Dave Norris stands a good chance of getting renominated? But the big question now is whether it would be Julian Taliaferro to get renominated to go back to council or this new person.
Well,
of course, this is just for the Democratic nomination, right?
I think what you're referring to is Seville Weekly ran a story where they basically said, Dave's in, who's going to be number two?
That must be it. So that was, I knew I read it something like that somewhere.
That was the Seville Weekly perspective. Of course, Charles Holtzmar is nonpartisan. We want this race, you know, open to all comers, and our job is to get them all on the record. So all three of them will be there. And we'll see how they do.
Isn't there a PVCC student running for city council?
There is. He's running as an independent.
So it wouldn't be at this forum?
Would not be at this forum, but we'll be at the forums we have in the fall.
Gotcha.
So this fall, we'll do this process again. We'll do a voter guide, and Charlottesville Tomorrow and the Free Enterprise Forum will team up and have additional candidate forums, you know, in the October timeframe.
Yeah, there may be a Republican to step up.
Could be. And certainly in the county, though, there will be contested elections. We'll do the same treatment for those.
Good stuff. So remind people again, this first forum, local forum,
and
will
I
be
think,
held.
I think this is the first city council forum of the year. There's only one other one scheduled that I'm aware of, and the Democrats are hosting that one. But the first one will be Tuesday, April 21st, 2 weeks from today, at Burley Middle School. Doors open at 6:30. The forum will start promptly at 7 o'clock. Public's all invited to come, and they can ask questions from the audience.
Good deal. Tuesday night, April 21st, right up the hill here on Rose Hill Drive at Burley Middle School, a forum for the Democratic candidates for Charlottesville City Council.
And if you have ideas for questions, you can go to our news center. You can find the announcement about this candidate forum and just put a comment on that news posting, and you can suggest a topic, and that might get the community thinking in advance about what questions to ask the candidates. Of course, we will be asking about some of the big items that you and I talk about all the time, Coy. So the water supply.
Pie
would be a great question. What is your favorite pie?
You like to know where people stand on pie, right?
That's very important.
Are you a fruit guy, or are you, where are you?
Yeah, now Hoss Spencer, he says he doesn't like fruit pies.
He did say that? I don't remember that.
He said that to you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he would be like a
maybe he's one
like
of those
a pumpkin or
a meringue kind of guy or something.
Yeah, like a key lime. Is that a fruit pie? That's not a fruit pie, is it?
That's probably borderline. But see, that's an important question.
What is your favorite pie?
You should ask all your guests.
What is your favorite?
Well, it's hard for me to pick one, Coy, but I'd have probably a peach cobbler.
From that place out in Crozet?
Yeah, Child's Peach Orchard.
Yeah, boy, that really made an impact on you.
That was a good one. Life-changing. So anyway, if you have questions about pie and other things that you want us to ask city council candidates, come to our news center, put a comment on that article, and that'll get people thinking about what they should ask.
There you go. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. And while you're sitting here talking about the schedule for this forum, I started thinking, literally sitting here wondering on a completely unrelated topic, when is that carnival open in McIntyre Park, and when is the parade?
The Dogwood Parade?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
It looks like the Dogwood Festival is the 9th through the 26th.
Should be coming up soon.
So that's this week, isn't it? Yeah, that's 2 days. So that carnival opens in 2 days.
Wow.
On Thursday. Wow. When is the parade?
Spring
though?
Is here.
This is the 60th Dogwood Festival.
That's a big one.
Wow. That is huge.
And
anyway, we'll have to find out. We'll try to find out when the parade is.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So we're going to take a, well, we got a couple of minutes here.
We got some big stories to talk about after the break.
We're going
to talk about a bridge that may be closing in Albemarle County. And it's not Advanced Mills Bridge, which is already closed.
Another bridge is going to close?
Another bridge. Ooh. VDOT says within 2 to 3 years, it's going to be closed. Another bridge. We've got a lot of interest in trains, commuter trains. Of course, Meredith Richards Looks like her proposal to have passenger rail between Lynchburg and D.C. is going forward and has funding. But now there's a new proposal from the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors to investigate commuter rail to Crozet. And we have some interesting things to say about that.
It's about time, isn't it?
Well, there's another...
I mean, the darn rails are there. Why wouldn't... I mean, that...
The rails are there.
That would make the most sense in the world, wouldn't it, to be able to get on a little train in Crozet and ride into town?
And the funny thing about that story is that I told you last week, my son Sam and I had been out in Crozet. We walked the tracks, went to the original Claudius Crozet tunnel through Acton Mountain.
Yeah.
Took pictures of it and came back. And then we saw a train coming on the railroad through Afton. And I said, you know, Sam, you should take some pictures. So Sam took a whole bunch of pictures of the train. One of those pictures is now on our news center with this story. So it worked out perfectly.
Very cool.
So Sam is now a photojournalist.
That would be so, congratulations, Sam. That would be so cool to have a commuter train from Charlottesville or from Crozet to Charlottesville.
Well, we have an alternative opinion about that. Today I got a call from a limo and bus company that does this, you know, as a private sector company.
Yeah.
And he had a whole different perspective on this.
I bet he did.
And
what a horrible idea.
He said for the $5 million that it would propose to cost to start this thing up, he could run this service, you know, for 4 years and have buses going 24 hours a day. So not 24 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah.
7 days a week, 16 hours a day. We'll get into the details of that. But it's an interesting, you know, what is the right approach to transit? Albemarle and Charlottesville have talked about having a regional transit authority. The challenge always comes down to money. So what's the best way to move the people we have and create the right sorts of neighborhoods that are transit friendly?
Yeah, yeah. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. More on this after a break for local news and weather. Plus, we'll tell you what bridge might be closing down in Albemarle County in just a few minutes. It's Tuesday afternoon, and that means one thing. Brian Wheeler is live in studio on Rose Hill Drive. He is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. We were talking during the break about this commuter train from Crozet, and I was telling you that I think it would do well if they can figure out how to do it. Well, let's admit they don't have the money for it. Do they have the money for this?
Of course not, Coy.
Why do they do this? Why do they talk about these great ideas that there's no possible way we could do them because they don't have any money for them?
Well, Supervisor Ann Malik from the Whitehall District represents Crozet. You know, I think there's a lot of enthusiasm right now about Meredith Richards and the train project, Lynchburg to D.C., passenger rail.
Yeah, she pulled it off. She did it.
So I think that enthusiasm is contagious. And, you know, there are, as you said, there are already rails going between Charlottesville and Crozet.
It's a no-brainer to me.
They keep on going through Afton Mountain to Stanton.
Yeah.
So people naturally have said over the years, why don't we put passenger rail on those rails? Of course, it has to compete with the freight rail that's running on it. CSX and Buckingham Branch is the group that runs those tracks right now. But anyway.
And Amtrak has that, what is it, the Cardinal or the Crescent? I can never remember
which
one.
Yeah, that's the north-south, the Crescent.
Yeah.
Southern Crescent.
But there's an east-west that goes on that route as well.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Goes out to
Chicago.
Yeah, because I've seen that go through Ivy.
Goes to Chicago.
So anyway, Ann Malik has written a letter to Senator Mark Warner to ask if there might be some federal funding for sort of a pilot project. You know, here's a community that really wants passenger rail. Can we make it happen? Charlottesville to Crozet.
It would fit with the whole, would it fit with that old stimulus thing? I don't know.
Well,
I think it would be cool. I think that's I've been for it for years.
I think that's what they're fishing for.
I would love to see that happen. And I think it would be a success more so than putting that money towards a bus because people love to ride the train. So the bus goes on the busy streets that they see all the time. The train will take you on a lovely ride through the countryside on your way to work.
Now, since we posted that story, people have commented on both sides of this issue. A number of people wrote on our news center comments that said, you know, the government, local government shouldn't be spending any more money on this. You're not going to remove a significant number of cars. And basically, it's a, you know, boondoggle.
That's a good point.
And how much money are we talking about? Ann Malik thinks $95,000 to do a study, to get a consultant to figure this out, but a $5 million price tag for startup funding.
Yeah.
You'd have to add some additional track to allow the different trains to pull over, I guess, and you'd have to get some help with creating stations and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Okay, so
it would be so wicked cool,
so
wouldn't it?
Let's assume it's $5 million.
The only downside is if you ride that train into Charlottesville, you don't have your car if you need to run an errand.
Yep. Now, Jim Duncan out in Crozet, a realtor, he did a little survey on his website, said who would use, this was before this story even came out.
Yeah.
He said, who would use commuter rail to Crozet? And he said, you know, a lot of people commented, yes, absolutely. And I think that's a lot of people who commute, that's their initial reaction. Sure, I'd take the train. If it's easy, I know the
schedule.
Who
doesn't love riding a train?
Park, get on the train, yeah. Sounds like fun. Now,
clickety-clack, clickety-clack, all that.
Dan Goff from Goff Transportation or Goff Limo. Sorry, I'm blanking on the
name. Is this a bus guy?
Yes. He called me up today, and he's like, Brian, I heard they're talking about running rail, you know, trains to Crozet. He's like, I can do that with 55-passenger buses right now. You know, show me the money, and we'll get the buses going.
Yeah.
And
people don't like riding the bus, though.
He said, you know, if government's going to spend $5 million on this, he could have four of those buses running 16 hours a day, 7 days a week between Charlottesville and Crozet for 4 years. So there, that's another way to solve the problem.
But you know what? A bus isn't going to get people out of their cars.
Well, you know, it is in other localities. So certainly where people are doing longer commutes, they like the idea of having a luxurious, you know, bus with TVs and whatever to sit in. It's got a restroom.
You can finish sleeping.
You can
on your way
take
to work.
A little nap. But again, and I think that's one of the challenges here. The distance between Crozet and Charlottesville is so small.
That's a good point. Ann's on line one. Ann, thank you for your patience. You're on with Brian Wheeler. Go right ahead.
You're welcome. I drive every day from Waynesboro with, as the realtor says, probably 4,500 people. And listen to you all every day going home. I think it would be a good idea to have a train from here commuting.
Yeah, if it's going to Crozet, why can't it keep going to Waynesboro and Stanton?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what, and a lot of people have come on the website and at Seville News, where the story also was reposted and said that. Why, you know, could it be continued out to Waynesboro, Stanton? So I think there is a growing interest in this. Of course, we have to make sure that WINA is broadcast on all these trains and buses, whatever.
Absolutely. So you can keep listening.
Ann, Thank you.
You drive safe. Thank you so much, darling. Appreciate it. That's Ann on line one. I'm all for it. And to me, it's a total no-brainer. The tracks are there. Let's figure out a way to use them. It makes so much sense.
Well, just to put some of the numbers in perspective, again, if we're talking about $5 million, and I don't know what the ongoing operational cost would be of such a train, but the number that's been thrown out there is $5 million to get it up and running. To give you some perspective, the city and county combined today put into Charlottesville Transit Service about $2.75 million a year. So right now, we're only spending $2.75 million on buses in the city of Charlottesville. Of course, the city and county have been trying to work together for a regional transit authority. They wanted to go to the taxpayers and say, can we raise your sales tax by up to a penny to help pay for other transportation options?
Yeah.
Regional transit. This could certainly be part of a regional transit effort. But again, the General Assembly shut them down and said, no, you can't ask your voters if they want to vote on a tax increase.
Yeah.
So, again, you may think it's a good idea, Coy. A lot of people are sharing that. But funding it
in operational. But how do you fund a good idea?
And keep it going. And are there other things that could be done, you know, in the interim to sort of test feasibility? And I think that's where Mr. Goff was coming from. You know, and Ann Malik, even, on the Board of Supervisors, was supportive of a park and ride lot and having Jaunt, another provider of buses.
But it's apples and oranges. It's a park and ride or a bus from Crozet is an apple. A train is an orange. It doesn't gauge how well a train would do. You're just you're putting them in the public transportation box.
Right.
People like riding trains. They don't like riding buses.
I think, and I'm not an expert on this, but my sense about it is people like trains if they know they come every 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Excellent point.
15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why things like Metro work well.
If you have a headway over,
you know, you're not
going
to wait long.
Right.
That's why Boston works so well. Those trains come every 2 seconds.
What if the train to Crozet only runs once in the morning and once in the evening?
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Lines are open, 977-1070. Scott is on line one. Scott, thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. I fall into the category. I like trains, don't like buses. I live in Crozet. And as much as I want to like this idea, I just think it's terribly impractical. I drive in every day, as do several people in my office. The train is not going to land on Pantops where my office is, so how do I get to my office? I'm 20 minutes, maybe 22, door-to-door now. How am I going to get, you know, this trip on a train to get the train, wait for the train, and figure out how to get to my office from the train is going to end up being 45 minutes and cost money. Why would I do that?
It's a fantastic point.
That's a good
point. I didn't think about it that much.
And Mr. Goff, you know, the bus guy said that's one of the advantages of the buses, that they can be routed to different locations. It could make a stop in Pantops. It could make a stop at the transit center downtown where you could then jump onto CTS buses and get around on the free trolley.
But like Scott's point is, it would still take longer.
It would take longer
to do that than what it's taking him now.
You know, and with the train, then you've got to figure out where is that one place? Is it stopping at the university? Is it stopping somewhere near?
Used to stop at the corner once upon a time.
Is it stopping at the Amtrak
station? They had a depot at the corner until like the early 20th century. Bob is on line two. Bob, thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
Guys, meaning no disrespect to anyone with regard to the trains, but it's crazy. I mean, there's no way it's financially feasible. I mean, people like to ride trains. That's wonderful. I mean, people like to take wagon rides. Why not just have horse-drawn carriages back and forth?
Now we're talking.
You know, I really think anybody that's really thinking this through will look at the money it would take to do it and say it doesn't work. If free enterprise hasn't been able to put it together for the country, Amtrak never has worked, why would we think it would work between Crozet and Charlottesville? I mean, I think it's a wonderful pie-in-the-sky thing, and maybe we can have pony rides back and forth, but that to me is more practical than using the train tracks just because they're there. Again, no disrespect, man. It just seems absolutely absurd to me. Thanks.
No disrespect taken. Bob, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. And I'm just a guy who likes trains. But I get it. I get the whole idea. That's totally impractical. I get that. But I would still love to see that be a thing where you could just go down to the depot and get on the train and stand and go to work in Charlottesville or Waynesboro or Crozet. I like the idea. I like my pie in the sky.
We'll keep you posted.
Thank you very much. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. And next up is water supply.
Next, we're going to talk about that bridge that's closing.
Oh, yeah. Let's let people know.
Dickerson Road. This is the unpaved portion of Dickerson. So the dirt road that runs basically from the airport right after you pass Crutchfield. If you went to the airport
and went right,
turn right.
Instead of going into the airport,
and you don't go into the Crutchfield Corporation headquarters, but you keep on going.
Sort of runs parallel between Earlysville Road and 29.
And it is a parallel road. And that's why it's important, because it's one of the parallel roads they want in this Places 29 master plan for the 29 North Corridor. Like Berkmar Drive, like Hillsdale Drive, Dickerson was seen as one of those roads they would upgrade
To get traffic
to create
off
another
of 29.
Parallel path.
Yeah.
And it's important because of its location along the edge of the UVA Research Park. So it goes past the airport, past Crutchfield, UVA Research Park, and then it crosses two rivers. It crosses a stream coming out of Chris Green Lake, and then it crosses the North Fork of the Rivanna. And there is an old truss bridge, single lane. Right now it has a 3-ton limit. And again, it's in the unpaved portion of this. VDOT told the Board of Supervisors last week they give it 2 to 3 years before they have to close that bridge.
Oh, now do a lot of people use that and live up near that?
It is a low traffic volume road today, but again, envisioned as part of a bigger plan for 29 North to be an important parallel road. I asked a couple people who live just on the other side of the bridge, you know, are you worried about this? And they said no, because the Briarwood subdivision, where I was asking people questions, has a connection right to 29. So for the residential neighborhoods just on the other side of the bridge, they probably aren't using Dickerson Road today
anyway. Yeah. So it's not going to hit commuters or neighborhoods like the closing of the Advance Mills Bridge did.
Not too substantially, but it's, I think, symbolic of the funding challenges we have with transportation. Here's a bridge where Albemarle County tried to get creative. They said, listen, let's take all the unpaved road money the state gives us every year and let's put it on just one project. So now they've collected $1.8 million from what's called unpaved road money. And they were going to apply it all to Dickerson Road. And they went into that thinking, let's just get one road done and feel good about it.
Yeah.
And Alan Sumter from VDOT came to them last week and said, well, guys, you know what? That road you want to build, when you add in the two bridges you're going to have to rebuild, is going to cost $12 million. Right now you've got $1.8
million. Oh, man.
It's going to cost $12 million. Do you want to keep accumulating funds there? Because if you do, we need to get started, you know, on the design work and figuring the whole thing out. And they basically said, well, no, let's apply that to some other bridges, like the Broomley Road Railroad Bridge, which is right behind the Ivy Nursery. So if you're heading out 250 west.
Yep, I know that one.
Broomley Road has a little wooden bridge that goes over the railroad.
A lot of houses back in there.
A lot of houses back there, and they cannot get a fire truck over that bridge today.
Ooh.
So that's a concern to the residential property owners on the other side.
Yeah.
So Dennis Rooker, Board of Supervisors, said, why don't we apply that money there? To which VDOT said, well, if you move that money, there's a penalty you will pay, because we will short future allocations to Albemarle County because you took money we gave you for unpaved roads and used it for something else.
Oh, man.
And to which Dennis Rooker said, well, jeez, you're not giving us any money anyway, so how can you make it any, how can you make it any less than what it is? And
whose money is this anyway?
Well, this is state money related to transportation.
So this is taxes we pay that are supposed to be coming back to us for VDOT projects.
Right. And what this was all in the context
that had
of,
slowed to a trickle, and now they want to slow it even more.
It was in the context of approving a list of projects for the 6-year secondary road plan. Now, the 6-year aspect of that title is a joke because most of these projects have been on there many more than 6 years, and none of them, except maybe the Meadow Creek Parkway and Georgetown Road and maybe Jarman's Gap.
It's amazing.
Those are the only three that are moving forward, and only Meadow Creek Parkway has, you know, construction going on right now. So they have a 6-year road plan. They're not getting enough funding, and VDOT and staff came to the supervisors and said, listen, you got three options here. You can leave the money on Dickerson Road and, you know, pretend that's actually going to happen someday. And Dennis Rooker said, we wouldn't collect enough money in 20 years to build that road.
It would never happen.
You can move that money and pay a penalty.
How substantial a penalty?
Well, they said it would be about $325,000 in 2017. The next time that Sumter said that in 2017, if the state starts paying money again, and he said if, you'd pay a penalty. So Rooker said, you know, why are we worried about this? Let's just move it to a bridge we need to fix. And then,
is $1.8 million even going to fix a bridge?
Well, that's what Rooker asked, and Alan Sumter said no.
No.
It would
go
not.
Build some sidewalks.
He
I mean,
said,
do
that
something.
Will not give you enough money.
Do something you can do with that money that you can actually get a project done, like sidewalks out on Jarman's Gap Road.
They could move it to another project like that. Again, they'd pay a penalty because it's not
or the
an
one over by the high
road.
School. What's that one over by the high school that they keep wanting to do?
Georgetown Road.
Georgetown Road.
Right.
Build
again,
it.
They'd pay a penalty because they're moving it to another project.
Yeah,
that's
but at
not
least you'd have
road.
Enough money left over
yep.
to perhaps actually do a project.
Right.
You know what I mean? And check something off of this never-ending growing list.
Well, that's the struggle they're facing. They decided at the end of the day to just leave the money where it was and not risk a penalty and revisit this next year. And this is I've written a 6-year secondary road story year after year after year.
Yeah.
And the same
they
projects.
They never get done.
They move. I called it a shell game. Actually, David Slutsky called it a shell game. They move a few projects around in priority. They keep three at the top, Meadow Creek Parkway, Georgetown, Jarman's Gap. But nothing else really happens on this list.
I would take the money that's on the table, as much as you can get, even if you take the penalty, and just put it towards some project that would fit into that budget, no matter what it is.
And back to Dickerson Road, if they do
otherwise,
close,
you'll never spend that money.
If they do close that truss bridge, there's no money to reopen it.
Ever.
Not in the foreseeable future.
Man.
So that's
goodness.
What's happening on that story.
We're going to wake up and be Mississippi one day. This is unbelievable.
What else do you want to talk about?
Well, we've got about 50 seconds. What do you want to talk about?
Let's just say that City Council last night approved a request for proposals for a full dredging study of the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir. That RFP will now go to the Board of Supervisors.
Oh, now that's huge news, Brian. This was last night?
Yeah, last night.
That's huge news. So City Council is putting out a request for proposals to actually dredge the reservoir.
Well, the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority drafted the RFP, handed it to City Council, said, is this what you were looking for? City Council tried to wordsmith it a little bit, but in the end, they signed off on it.
That's big news, because that's what they wanted to do before we did this whole dredging task force bypass, you know,
now they're doing it.
Tangent. And, and now they're finally doing what they wanted to do before they even had that whole task force.
So that's moving on. We'll report further on that. And another piece of interesting news, Charlottesville City Council is considering, we'll talk about this in a future show, they're considering paying Albemarle County to preserve conservation easements, acquisition of conservation easements. The ACE program is an Albemarle County program buy development rights. There's concern that they won't be able to fund it as much this year. City of Charlottesville is talking about kicking in some money for that.
How about that? So the money that the county gives to the city with the revenue sharing would turn around and come back.
David Brown pointed out it would not be revenue sharing dollars. That would be applied to this.
Okay.
That was special money.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow joins us on Tuesday afternoons. Y'all have a great night. Thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.